Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Jay Powell reduced rates at the Fed today. We'll get into that in the next hour, just a little bit. Hey, you know, I said this earlier. I had to ask myself a few times today what day it was. I asked Fred when I got in. What day is it? It's Thursday. That means a roundtable is tomorrow. We have the panel set. Jane will be here. I have not heard from my friend Jane Duker in a couple of days. That's a mystery. I don't know why.
Huh.
But she will come to terms with the election results tomorrow, along with State Rep Steve Butts, who's a Democrat, and our friend Greg Keller, Republican consultant, who joined me on election night. So that's tomorrow afternoon. We got all the fun stuff with Paul Hall back on entertainment. And we're getting really close to some cool movie openings. Gladiator 2, I'm very much looking forward to Wicked. I'm a big Moana fan. You ever see Moana, Sue?
I did. I really liked it.
I liked it, too. So Moana 2. So we'll talk with Paul Hall tomorrow. We got Cusimano on sports as we head into the weekend. And, of course, on that front right now, our friend Scott Warman, I have to practice his new company, FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. We change these things from time to time. Scotty Warman, how are you this afternoon?
I'm still practicing too, Mark. I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
I bet you are. I'm doing good. I was telling Sue during the break, I'm a little bit more sleep deprived than yesterday for some reason, even though I got more sleep, but it's all kind of catching up with me.
I think we all did.
Yeah. One of the things that I sent, somebody sent this to me last night, and then I sent it out to a couple of friends, including my friend Scott Jennings when he was on the set at CNN last night, because he's a Cardinals fan, is the news that they're moving Wilson Contreras to first base. And, you know, the fans react to a lot of these things in a negative way, and this is one that, you know, you sit back and think, yeah, it makes complete sense, right?
I guess.
Hey, if you don't agree with me, I want to hear. You're the expert, dude, so you tell me your thoughts.
I mean, I don't know any of the insight. Obviously, I'm reading what everybody else is reading, but I think it's interesting. First of all, it tells me that the Cardinals are very comfortable with the young guys behind the plate and the Pedro Páez, along with Ivan Herrera. You got a guy that's coming through the ranks that'll be in AAA next year, and Jimmy Crooks, who's supposed to be really, really good as well. So there's obviously within the organization some depth there. You still want to keep a guy like Wilson Contreras in your lineup, because you could basically argue, unfortunately, Wilson had two unfortunate injuries last year, especially that broken forearm. That was nasty. But he was probably your most consistent hitter. So you need that bat in the middle of the lineup to get some consistency, especially with, you know, obviously it seems as if Paul Goldschmidt is going to go to somewhere else, and they're not going to re-sign him. So moving to Contreras over to first base opens up opportunities for your two young catchers. I think the biggest thing for Wilson is trying to make that transition to first base. It's an underappreciated position. And I think when you see what happens after Paul leaves, and I know this just from a personal standpoint, talking to guys like Colt Wong and Paul DeYoung, who were with the organization, obviously, a few years ago, that when the Cardinals acquired a guy in Paul Goldschmidt, it made their jobs a lot easier. And because, obviously, guys aren't going to make the perfect throw every single time. And so he saved their rear ends, basically. And
well,
Paul,
you know what?
That's
a good point, because, look, there's a risk as a fan to not have appreciation for that, because he's so damn good, Goldschmidt is, at his job, and you kind of just assume it's easier because he makes it look easy.
Right. Yeah, I think there's certain things you just kind of take for granted, to be honest with you. And as I was talking to one of my cohorts today, one of the things to keep in mind, and he's the focal point of this organization, rightly so, in Mason Wynn, is the fact that, you know, even Mason Wynn, as good as he is, sometimes he has to unload it because he's got that great arm. But guess what? You know, Goldie picked it a couple of times, but let me tell you what. Probably, I think Mason Wynn was very happy to have Paul Goldschmidt over there. So my whole point is I think first base is a position that gets overlooked from a defensive standpoint. And let's look back before we have Paul Goldschmidt over at first place. I say we, I mean the Cardinals had you had a bunch of problems over there and a lot of errors. And, you know, other than the catcher, the next person that handles the ball more than anybody else in that field is over at first base. So it is a transition that, you know, is going to take place. I know Wilson Contreras. I love Wilson Contreras. I love his attitude. I think he's great for the clubhouse. And if he had his conversation, as John Mozeliak like explained, in the general manager's meetings to some of our fellow media members here in St. Louis, that he doesn't want to leave, I'm all for it. And if he wants to give this a shot and Paul Goldschmidt isn't coming back, I'm all for it, because I think we need Wilson Contreras. While you're trying to make this, as John Mozeliak would say, retool, Mark, I still think you need some veteran leadership, and you do need a bat that's consistent, that's been there before, while you're trying to evolve with some of these other young guys that you're bringing through the ranks.
Let me ask that question again. Hey, Scott, I'm not so sure about this Wilson Contreras move, moving him to first base. Can you respond to that? No, that was a great way to explain the nuances. And again, I think there might be a little assumption that is a little easier, and you want to be careful because defense is so important. Can you paint any picture of hope for Cardinals fans? I mean, it's going to be a bit of a rough stretch, and I know that there's going to be an unwillingness to call it a rebuild, but look, they got a lot of challenges, right?
Well, you know what? I really think about it, because you and I obviously grew up here and we're basically the same age, is the fact that you think about a transformation from a team. And I'm not even talking about going through a youth movement, because I don't even really ever remember a youth movement with this organization, even with the transition of ownership from the Bushes to Mr. DeWitt and company. You have to go back to a transition back when Whitey took over. And that wasn't just going to a youth movement. Whitey was just making moves to bring a championship team to St. Louis. So this is obviously a major shift where you're kind of sort of going through the retool, i.e., you know, letting your younger guys play, which I personally have no problem with. Let's see what you got. But as I mentioned, I was on Sports Up the Line last week with Matt down the hall, and I said the Cardinals have some chips, and maybe Wilson Contreras is a guy that eventually they do trade if they don't want to put him over first base. My point is, guys like Contreras, maybe Arenado, I'm sure they would have a conversation with them. Obviously, the story came out that Sonny Gray would like to stay. But is there a possibility maybe he gets a team that might be running for a championship that he would okay a trade? My whole point is this. You do have some chips that are on your roster right now that I think if you get a good trade and you get something in return where you have guys that you have control as far as costs are concerned for the next 2 or 3 years that are ready to go to the majors or near ready, that are top prospects, I think what Mo is saying when he had that press conference, he and the Cardinals did a month or plus ago, is you can make this retool a little bit quicker than maybe what most people, maybe like I think you're kind of alluding to, will anticipate. It's kind of like what I kind of equalize it to what Doug Armstrong's trying to do with the Blues.
Sure, that makes sense.
Won a Stanley Cup 5 years ago. You know, I think there's a bright future there. They've got a lot of young prospects that they're really excited about. I know other people around the league are excited about. And so Army said, look, we don't want a complete rebuild. We want to rebuild this as quickly as possible while still maintaining a competitive franchise on the ice. And I think John Mozeliak would like to do the same thing. I think it is going to be, I know we say this every year, but I think this offseason is going to be very, very interesting, Mark, just to see what the Cardinals can pull off as far as trades are concerned and get what they can get in return. Because if you can bolster part of your pitching staff, maybe a little bit of your lineup by getting guys, as I mentioned, with making deals that are near ready or are ready to play in the major leagues that are 23, 24, 25 years old.
Opportunities exist.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, I got 60 seconds, so I want to get you, just if you could do a 60-second, what's going on with the Blues and how bad is that situation?
Well, you know, they beat the Maple Leafs after their best defenseman got injured, and then his teammate from Edmonton who came over, Holloway, that was, I know you were doing the thing on Tuesday night, that was a scary situation where the puck rolled up on Dylan Holloway's throat, but he's going to be okay. They're saying he could potentially even play tonight.
I missed that. What happened?
The puck just rolled up on him, and it hit him. We thought it might have hit him in where he was having trouble breathing. And they took him off in the stretcher, and they stopped the first period with 1:11 left. Yeah. So anyway, try to make this as quickly as possible. They actually kind of coming together while they are dealing with all these injuries. If they can come out in the next 4 or 6 weeks, get Robert Thomas back, get Philip Broberg back, and they're still in the chase, I still think that they have an opportunity to maybe slip into the playoffs.
Nice, I like
that. It's going to be tough. I mean, when you're losing a couple of your big dogs as your center iceman and your blue line. But they've been playing pretty well here over the last couple of games.
All right, giving us hope. That's good. Scotty Worman, it's always great to have you on. Thank you so much. Great weekend. Yeah, we'll see you. We got hour number three coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.